Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
I mean, here's a guy that criticizes everybody, whoever they take. He's got the answers to who you should take and who you shouldn't take. And all of a sudden, he's an expert. He's in our paper 2 days ago telling us who we have to take.
Welcome back to The First Team. I'm Joe DeLeon, and with me, NFL draft analyst, my good friend Ryan Roberts. Today, we're moving on from the 2024 NFL draft class. If you want our final thoughts, we shared our top classes from 2024 on Saturday. And if you want to go check that out, make sure you do so. Also, make sure you hit that subscribe button so you don't miss out on any of our future episodes as we lead up to the 2024 college football season and summer scouting officially begins today. I'm about 10, 11 guys into the class. Ryan says he is 25 in. No shocker there. He's ahead of me. But Ryan, I tweeted this out and apparently Twitter or X.com or whatever hated it so much that it put a temporary lock on my account immediately after, which has been fixed. I tweeted out that early impressions, I don't think that this 2025 class is going to be very exciting to watch. I don't think it is going to be anywhere close to the 2024 class. And it is very, very strange that we're not just having one class be slightly weaker than the other, but there feels to me like a pretty big drop off from one to the other. I felt like this time last year when I put on the tape for some of the top guys, Olufoshanu, Joe Alt, Jared Verse, there were a lot of guys that I put the tape on for, Marvin Harrison Jr., Brock Bowers. I knew they were good coming into it, and I was really impressed coming out of it. I've watched mostly linemen so far, but for some of the descriptions I've heard for some of these guys, man, it is a bit underwhelming. I'm not trying to downplay this and crap on them, but the class is just not nearly as good as I think certain players, people think that they are.
I don't like to rush to that judgment, Joe. I don't like to rush.
I'm absolutely gonna rush.
I'm only 25 players in, and I think it's gonna be a much different class than last year in the sense of last year was an offensive heavy draft, right? I mean, what was it? The first 14 selections in the 2024 NFL draft were all offensive players. I think this is the reverse this year. I mean, I'm looking at my list so far, and you get only 25 players in, but a lot of the big names that people know about already. Seven of my top eight are defensive players, right? So seven out of eight are the highest graded players so far. So it seems like a defensive heavy draft compared to the offensive heavy draft. I think what makes it, and I think, correct me if I'm wrong, because I know you probably haven't watched any quarterbacks yet because you're a slacker. But
no, I just refuse to watch them until the end.
Here's the thing, Joe. The paramount positions, especially that get us super excited about, right? Quarterback. Mm-hmm. Does not look like a great class early on unless some things change. Wide receiver seems like a good class, but not as good as it was last year. And offensive tackle seems down to the year before this past year as well. So I just think it's some of the premier positions maybe are down slightly, but then I do think it kind of evens out a little bit though. And I'm curious to see what happens because defensive line in 2025 looks fantastic early on. Corner, I think, looks really, really good. I mean, there's a lot of distinct differences between this class and last year's class. I'm not ready to say though that it's a bad class. I'm just ready to say that there are question marks at a couple of positions that people care a lot about.
I think that, and this isn't an indicator to me that the class is weak, but one of the funniest things, and you actually depicted it very well there, the premier positions are not the positions that are good this year. This past class, we were spoiled with the fact that offensive tackle and receiver and quarterback had all of these names that we were able to talk about. This year's class, outside of edge, and there's some corner talent, but it sounds like two of the best positions are running back and their defensive tackle, which are the two of the least premier positions in the NFL. And I'm just pointing out the irony of circumstantially how it's actually not that really rough of a class, but we're going to have a lot of running backs that none that are worthy of going in the top 20 picks, but we're going to have way more running backs that we talk about in the first three rounds than we did last class. We're going to talk about a lot more defensive tackles that we would have the conversation of going in the first round. It's just funny that this is how the class is built, where two positions that are decreasing in value in the NFL are the ones that are going to be the strongest in this class.
You know what's funny, Joe? I think we can parlay it this way, right? If we're comparing 2024 to a very early understanding of 2025, because again, this is going to change, guys.
Doom or gloom.
Well, no.
Sky's falling.
No, but listen. Okay, so let's give the edge real quick, just working through positions. Quarterback, 2024. Running back, 2025. Wide receiver, 2024. Tight end, 2024. Offensive tackle, 2024. Interior offensive line, I think it's a conversation. Like, I think that there's a guy in 2025 specifically that we could talk about that's like, I could see him being the top ranked interior offensive lineman out of the 2 years. Edge, 2025, in my opinion. Defensive tackle, 2025. Linebacker, push. I'll wait to see on linebackers. I haven't even watched too many of them yet. Corner, I think it's going to be 2025, and I think safety is going to be 2025. So I think it's going to even out. I think that your conversation points, and I think it's an interesting one, and I'm like, no shade on you, I think it's an interesting one, is that when we're going back and forth and saying 2025 looks better in this area, 2024 looks better in this area, it's the weighted value of what positions are better on each side that's going to make the difference of how we perceive this class. But I do think even outwise, there's a lot to like in 2025 comparative to 2024. It's just, again, quarterback, offensive tackle, wide receiver, they seem to be in the value of 2024 right now comparative to our early outline of what 2025 looks like at this point in summer scouting.
BetOnline remains your top spot for all of your live betting action and contests. NFL, college football, UFC, NHL are all in full swing. BetOnline is your number one source for wagering news, odds, trends, and predictions with both desktop and mobile access at any time. Head to BetOnline today and use promo code BELIEVE, that's BLEAV, for 50% off your first deposit. That is a 50% welcome bonus. BetOnline, where the game starts. Yeah, and obviously things can certainly change, but as we saw last year, a lot of the guys and the position groups that we spoke highly on early on last cycle ended up playing out the way that they did come draft time.
Right.
I think though that, just to round out this thought, there's still a really good chance that safety, defensive tackle, running back might have some of the better players in the class, might be stronger than usual, might still not get drafted as high as we're used to seeing. The other positions might still take precedent and priority for teams because of just pure positional value. And with that in mind, I want to talk first about the quarterback stuff. Less about names. We know Quinn Ewers is in this class. Carson Beck is going to get a lot of early love.
Shedeur Sanders.
Sanders is going to be Caleb Williams times 10 for how crazy it's going to be to talk about him, because it's going to be all about character and it's going to be less about on the field play, which is going to make me want to slam my head against a brick wall after we get through next March, probably, because we're going to get NFL, you know, but what is it? First round mocks, probably going to have a whole dissertation on a list of things that he hates about him. Not him.
I'm just saying it's May 2nd and I'm already seeing so much back and forth on Shador Sanders.
Yeah.
It's going to be exhausting to your point. It's going to be exhausting.
What I was getting at, though, with quarterbacks, we've also got some traitsy players. Cam Ward, man, I still think if you wanted to put in a bet right now, like a $5 bet for first overall pick in the 2025 class that would have tremendous odds that could hit, I'd put it on Cam Ward. Is there a good chance? There's a reason why the odds are ridiculous. But if you want to have some fun and have something to root for, put it on the table. But just to finish my thought here, Ryan.
Yep.
The quarterbacks this year, it's not as bad as when we had the Kenny Pickett, Malik Willis class. It's not nearly that bad, and I think I've seen some folks try to paint it that way, but I certainly see the understanding that there's less talent, and we'll probably have more like that Blake Bortles, Johnny Manziel, Teddy Bridgewater year, where there's probably only going to be like three, maybe four that get selected, and a few that would be more so second rounders slide their way in.
Well, I would paint it as this, Joe, is that I think there's a couple guys at the top, Carson Beck from Georgia being one, Shador Sanders even being one from Colorado off of early viewing. I think that those guys are going to be near the top on most lists early on, especially because they bring a higher floor than some of the other quarterbacks in this class. They're more known commodities. They bring desirable NFL traits, but I think that you do see, is there a limitation on the ceiling, right? Like, that's kind of what you're missing a little bit with Carson Beck. Like, I really liked Carson Beck from what I've seen so far. And again, I'm only about a game and a half in on him, but I see NFL quarterback. But, like, do I see high-end NFL quarterback? I'm not sure about that yet, man. I think he's good. Do I think he's a elite prospect? Do I think he's a top 10 pick? I'm not sure about that yet. But then there's other guys. You mentioned Quinn Ewers, volatile, right? Like, he could be a first rounder or he could be a fourth round pick because he's too inconsistent and he's too unknown. He's too volatile. Cameron Ward is the same thing. I actually talked to a scouting buddy a few weeks ago before, I guess a couple months ago before Cam Ward had selected Miami, that was saying if he went to Ohio State, he would probably bet on Cam Ward being a first round pick, but he goes to Miami. So, like, again, volatility continues.
Yeah.
Riley Leonard coming back from the injury. Like, is he a guy that can make
forget about him?
There's plenty of guys that have upside and talent and directly could rise this class and change our perspective on the class, but they're all volatile. They are. Riley Leonard with the injury coming back, Cam Ward in his third with his third different school now, and the volatility of what Miami has been as a program so far under Mario Cristobal. I mean, like, there's just so many major question marks, right? So there's talent and there's potential in this class, but there's a couple high floor guys that are kind of leading the class right now and a lot of volatility behind them, which I think kind of makes it a little bit of murky waters in summer scouting to kind of understand the landscape well.
Quarterback definitely feels like a position where anyone we say now and when we do our quarterback ranking,
yep,
I have a very good feeling that that ranking is going to look completely different. I have a feeling that that ranking is going to be splattered all over the board. And it is going to be just a total potential 180. Certain ones, like you're saying, Carson Beck is a sticking point. Shador Sanders is a sticking point. But yep. Quinn Ewers is the type of guy who, is he Mark Sanchez? Which one is he? Is he somebody who is going to take another step forward and the NFL is going to fall in love with the traits? Or does him going back maybe hurt him because it allows for the NFL to see maybe what the deficiencies are that he couldn't fix? And does the whole Arch Manning thing, does he get to play a little bit? There's just so much to count into his situation. More likely than not, he is a gifted player that will take steps forward and improve, but he's a really good example. And then, as you said, Cam Ward is the biggest wild card because he could be the de facto elite player this year that takes a huge step forward. Is this the Jaden Daniels of the class that gets new scenery and gets comfortable and has all the weapons around him and explodes forward? Or is he still the same risky decision-making Cam Ward?
Well, and we have a couple guys that look the part and have shown flashes, but just are complete projections right now. Like Drew Aller from Penn State. Like, right now, he's not that guy, but could he be under new offensive coordinator?
Kate Kubnick.
I'm not doing the Cape.
My Club favorite
thing.
Player.
I refuse to do the Cape Klubnik thing. Connor Wiegman out of Texas A&M. If he's able to stay healthy and take a step forward, like, could he be a guy? I mean, it's possible. My biggest sadness in this class is I really wish Noah Fifita wasn't 5'9", man, because that guy has something to him. He is so small. It's just so sad.
5'9"?
I mean, he's listed at 5'11", Joe, but we know what that means, right? Like, we know what that means. The college roster building perspective or roster listing perspective, we know what that means, man. So there's guys there with talent. It's just Byron Brown from South Florida is a young guy, is a guy that I would keep an eye on for. Again, not 2025, but maybe 2026. I mean, there's a bunch of names. You know, Jalen Daniels is another guy from Kansas that's a small dude who's had some injury stuff. Can Jalen Milroe make an ascension as a passer in 2024? I mean, there's just so many question marks, man. It's going to be exciting. It's going to be volatile. Get the seatbelt ready, man, because this thing's going to go all over the place. And I hope it ends up on a good note, because I want to talk about good quarterbacks going down the stretch of draft season. I don't want to talk about volatility. So hopefully a couple of those guys do make the ascension. They're certainly talent, but wild cards is the best way to put it right now.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
I'm sorry I got really distracted by you saying get your seatbelt because it's going to go all over the place. I'm a child. I will say this though. I did have somebody in the college football player personnel world that as soon as I tweeted out about Cam Ward going first overall, they loved that I had that take when they DM'd me. So I think that I'm standing by it. I'm going to ride it. I'm hoping that it comes true, because I think I'm just going to deliberately be a jackass and put him as QB1 when we go to rank, because I want to cause commotion. And nobody's right. It's the summer.
Has anybody what? Been? I mean, I was so early on Cam Ward. You remember when I was talking about him when Incarnate Word, like the
don't act like you also. I'm not saying that I was first, but don't act like you and I both weren't paying attention to him at the same time.
I told you who he was. You were covering FCS football. You didn't even know who Cam Ward was.
I knew. He threw for like 50 touchdowns in Carter Ward. What do you mean I didn't know who he was?
I'm talking about his freshman year during that spring weird season in 2020. Yeah. That's what I'm talking about. Yeah.
Go back those two seasons and you can tune into one of the worst show bits ever, which was Incarnate Ward's Ward. He was the most entertaining player to talk about. Get to defense here, you mentioned
skip a potentially dynamic running back group. Like, we're not even going to talk about the running backs. It's okay.
We're gonna get to running backs in a second. I want to play the hits.
Okay.
The defensive side of the football, you mentioned there's some really good corners, some really good safeties, really good defensive linemen. The guys that stand out to me, Will Johnson seems like he's already starting to get that early buzz. There's a lot of clips of him that's getting shared. James Pierce Jr. was the one that literally on Monday, I think some people on Sunday, were running to Twitter to share clips of him to be first to post clips of James Pierce Jr. from Tennessee.
Imagine not posting clips of James Pierce Jr. in October of this season. Could not be me. Honestly.
Asshat.
Could not be me. Yeah.
Mason Graham will be a really exciting one to discuss. He's somebody who always pops on tape when you're watching Michigan film.
Yeah. Nick Scout, from Texas A&M, the Purdue transfer, the edge, is another name to know for sure. Yep.
Who else outside of those ones that I missed that are like the big defensive names?
Some early favorites. You mentioned Scowerton. We mentioned Pierce. You mentioned Mason Graham. I would keep an eye on Kenneth Grant, the other defensive tackle for Michigan, the big body kid that kind of flashed a little bit this past year. Shared a lot of reps. They did a heavy rotation inside because obviously they also had Chris Jenkins, but I think that he's going to get a lot more play in 2024, obviously. Dante Corleone, Joe DeLeon, is my guy out of Cincinnati, man. Thick-bodied interior defensive lineman to keep an eye on. Tyleek Williams out of Ohio State took a massive step forward last year. Kobe Bryant is my sleeper from Kansas. Don't take this one because I'm saying it right now. That's my sleeper corner.
Is it really a sleeper if the guy's name's Kobe Bryant?
Well, it's not spelled the correct way. It's C-O-B-E-E Bryant, but here's my take, Joe.
Why wouldn't you spell K-O-B-E? Sorry, go ahead.
I'm putting out an early one on Kobe Bryant here, right? 2 years ago, I was incredibly early on Devin Witherspoon, right? And I said, that's going to be the guy this class is going to be a massive riser. This past year, I'm super early on Quinyon Mitchell, like a year and a half early on Quinyon Mitchell. I'm telling you guys right now, if there's a corner that goes from a name but slightly obscure to the most of the NFL draft nicks out there that turns into a top 50 pick or maybe in a first round pick, it's Kobe Bryant from Kansas. So just remember, I said that it's in the podcast now. Just remember that that's out there. Okay?
You better post a clip of him before I do. I'm gonna try.
Oh, I did last season already. Yeah. those are a few guys. Oh, we forgot to mention one of the better players in this class early on, Joe Malachi Starks from Georgia. The safety is unreal, guys.
Yeah,
like, actually unreal, dude. So that kid is gonna be a guy that we're gonna be talking about. Safety is not a position that has been overly emphasized and heavily valued on the NFL level the last couple of years, but man, that kid can play. So a few names for you guys.
Starks is one that I'm excited to dig into his film. I haven't gotten to him yet. Running back, you mentioned,
yes,
seems to be the best skill position group. Receiver, we've got Luther Burden, Teteroa McMillan, and then I think it's going to be a scattered board of how much do you like Emeka Ebuka coming off of an injury?
I like Emeka Ebuka. I like Ebuka. I like him a lot. Yeah.
Evan Stewart, who is now at Oregon. I like Tez Johnson. I haven't graded him, but Tez Johnson was fun, even though he's super thin.
He's the Oregon kid, right?
He's like 165, but he's like a better version of Xavier Worthy. He's as fast as him, and he's got better hands, in my opinion.
That's he transferred from somewhere to begin his career, right? Where was Tez Johnson?
He is Bo Nix's adopted brother.
So he was an Auburn kid?
I don't think he was. I think he came from another small school.
Yeah, I thought he came from a different school. I didn't think it was like something big like Auburn. I thought it was a G5 team, maybe. I feel like
it was a G5 team. I'm gonna look it up. But the running backs, I think, is going to be a compelling convo because we've got Ollie Gordon, who was close to the Heisman conversation. Quinshon Judkins, I think, is going to be a player who a lot of people are going to miss on for bad reasons because he's not as good as you think he is. Travion Henderson is a great football player. Ashton Jeanty from Boise State is very explosive. Taj Brooks from Texas Tech.
Yeah, the big thing.
He is a bowling ball.
Yes.
There are a lot of fun options maybe one goes in the first round, maybe one or two if we're getting spicy, but day two is going to be spattered with a lot of future starting running backs.
Jonah Coleman's a kid that I really liked that was at Arizona that transferred to Washington this offseason with the coaching change situation. Jaden Ott is one of the best kept stories in college football because he is dynamic, but he plays for Cal, so nobody cares, right? But like, that kid is lightning in a bottle. Devin Neal from Kansas, another one, Joe, who I thought would probably enter the 2024 NFL draft, but went back to school. There's a lot of names, man. Even guys that have just kind of been flown under the radar, like Jarquez Hunter out of Auburn's got some talent to him, some off the field issues there potentially, but certainly talented. Kyle Manungai, who I know that you like, you know, obviously the
Rutgers
great Kyle Manungai, and then the Penn State kids, right? You know, we'll see if Nicholas Singleton has a bounce back year. Katron Allen's pretty physical dude behind him. So there's a lot of names, man. Jordan James from Oregon's a guy that I have my eyes on. Le'Veon Moss out of Texas A&M. Like, there's a lot of interesting football players in this running back class that should have our attention, because this is, although we might not have a true first rounder in this group, I think you said it perfectly, day two's littered. And I think that if a lot of these guys end up do declaring or end up in this class, Trevor Etienne's a guy, also a transfer over that's went over to Georgia from Florida this offseason. This has a chance to be a historically deep class. Again, not saying it's a historically elite class. I mean, you remember the class that had Leonard Fournette and all those dudes. Like, that was a crazy class at the top. But if we're talking about getting dudes and potential difference makers and role players from round two all the way down, the 2025 class has a chance to do that with this running back group, man. A lot of good names to know there.
I'm intrigued how the NFL is going to react to that and how they're going to end up selecting those players if positional value comes into play at all. To wrap us here, offensive line,
woo,
not as sexy as last year. Will Campbell's going to probably be the one who heads the group. There's going to be a lot of conversations that happen with Kelvin Banks, the tackle from Texas. Tyler Booker, guard from Alabama, is somebody who's early on my radar. Tate Ratledge from Georgia, I watched yesterday, and I liked him. And then I think there's probably this year feels like there's going to be like three or four tackles that make sense in the first round. Some will get overdrafted, but I see a lot of mid to late day two players like Josh Connerly, Ariante Ursary, Jonah Savanea is one who's day two. Maybe he finds his way day one if he improves this upcoming season. But
sure,
it feels like this is more of a day two group than anything.
Right now, I would agree. This is a group of outstanding traits on the offensive line, but not near finished products. I mean, because I remember last year, Joe, we were talking about sophomore year Joe Alt and just, you know, third year Olufoshinu, but like those guys just technically were a lot further along than this group, and they were also obviously talented.
Yeah.
But if Savanea out of Arizona takes a massive step forward, I think he's got the goods, man. I think that he's incredibly talented. Kelvin Banks, I've only watched a game and a half on. I'm conflicted with right now, but he certainly has traits that you like there. Will Campbell's guy that has traits, but there's guys even when you go down the board a little bit that have some traits too, like Wyatt Millam out of West Virginia is a guy that's popped to me a little bit. Anthony Belton was a guy that could have entered the 2024 NFL draft that's massive, that has some traits to work with. So Tyler Booker, you mentioned that if Tyler Booker can keep his weight down, and nice little note on that, Joe, I was told that Tyler Booker's in the 338-pound range right now, so he's cut a significant amount of weight from this past season, which I think
that's
is
good.
Very good for him. So those types of guys, though, massive upside. I guess I'll give like a little bit of a spoiler, I guess, but like I put a top 50 grade on Tyler Booker right now off of what he did in 2024, but I think that he has an arrow up. Like I could see him being a first
round
when he puts it together, man. If he gets a little bit more flexible,
same for me.
Yeah, so you have guys with a lot of traits, but they're not as far as long as what we did in summer scouting for the 2024 class, because it feels like these guys are still kind of figuring it out from a technical perspective.
Folks, that's going to do it from us at Joe DeLeon, at Rising Draft, at The First Team Pod on Twitter. Hit the subscribe button. Leave us a 5-star review if you're tuning in on audio. It's going to be fun summer scouting. Make sure you don't miss out. We'll be back.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley. For the love of home.